Welcome back to the City of Palms podcast. Thank you for watching, viewing, and subscribing. Episode 93. Long-awaited episode. This finishes up the XNBIX saga.
I'm the last.
Yep. Hell yeah. We got VI. Yeah. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. Chilling. Another day. Chilling with my bastards, you know. Regular bastard activities.
Hell yeah. I fuck with the shirt. Primitive.
For real, dude.
Paint on the back.
Oh, what?
Oh, shit.
Paint shit. Pesky shit. But
hell yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, for sure.
Hell yeah. And the hair? I never seen nobody rock a flat top like that, bro. That's some legendary shit. I fuck with it.
It's been a long time coming. I've had it for a while, but like, it's just now that everybody's realized, like, you know, not everybody has a flat top nowadays. But it's like, I had it for a while, so I'm not too worried about it really evolving right now. But yeah,
is it hard to maintain?
No, mm-mm. It's pretty much like how I want to shape it and like the fade that I want to have at the time, but. It's not too difficult to maintain, now. Keep it big, and that's it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
How old are you?
26.
Fuck 26. Yeah. You born and raised around here, too?
Mm-hmm. Miami. And then I moved to Fort Myers, and then moved to Lehigh around 2008, I think. Yeah. And then I met up with the boys, and then the rest is history.
Hell yeah.
So I'm pretty much a product of everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yo. So. I love Florida.
Yeah, dude, I have a lot of people, like, lots of people say, like, can't wait to get out of this town. But it's dope.
There's
a lot of gems here, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of gems. It's just, you know, few and far between. You gotta know where to look.
For sure. So. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So outside of music, what are, like, some things that you do in your days outside of music?
Play basketball and a lot of 2K. A lot of 2K. Other than that, it's just music. Pretty much I'm a creative most of my time. Just try to find different ways to, like, have an outlet, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Find different ways to express. It's fun.
You write a lot? I feel like you write a lot.
Because
You're the least I hear from. You're the most quiet. But I feel like you got the, like, sometimes I hear you rap and I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
I haven't been writing recently, which is actually funny that you said I haven't been writing recently, but yeah, I do write a lot. Writing is just fun to me. I like playing with words. So whenever it comes down to, like, writing aspects, like, how can I make shit sound the coolest to myself? And, like, how can I play with it to the point where it's like, it sounds different. You know what I mean? And basically make things that I want to listen to. You know, but when it comes to writing, I just have fun with it at the end of the day. You know, say some cool shit.
You ever write it just like poetry? Like no beat or anything, just write?
Not too often, no.
It's usually the music?
Yeah. Because the beat usually has a direction. And I just take that direction and manipulate it however it sounds to me. But no, I don't usually write a cappella, no.
Yeah, I asked Rip the same question, but like, what's the earliest favorite music you remember in your life, like earliest favorite song or like favorite artist or something?
It's not even like an American artist, it's a Haitian artist. It's Alain Cavé. So I'm Haitian, so my mom grew up listening to a lot of like super Haitian artists like Sweet Mickey and Alain Cavé and Don Jr. and a bunch of other people. So I have a very, very like Caribbean melodic background. And then after a while I was like, okay, I like this hip hop thing. I want to do hip hop, and my mom was like, "Nah, you can't be doing all that. They do this, and you know all the stereotypical stuff that comes with hip hop." And I was like, "Nah, but I like what they're saying though. Like there has to be something that, you know, there's an energy that they're giving off that like I'm clinging to." So, and after a while, it was like, "All right. Where do I really want to take this?" And you know,
what age was that when you were realizing that you wanted, that you were gravitating towards hip hop and what their messages were?
It was like 11, and then like the more that I got into hip hop, the more that I realized like how different hip hop really was from everything else and how gradual it was, because you know early 90s hip hop was really like the groundbreaking where they you know, branched off into different genres, and there was, you know, they had gangster rap, and then, you know, the G-Funk and everything else like that. So after that, it was a lot of Lil Wayne and gangster rap and everything like that, and that's what really got me into, like, the swagger of it and everything. Mm-hmm. Used to love Wayne back in the day, and then from that, it was Kendrick, and then that transformed into where we are now. So it's inspired by a lot of different things. Yeah,
it's crazy to see, like, as the artists, like the new, like, elites, if you will, mm-hmm. how they, like, have foundations in what came prior, you know what I mean? That's always cool to see. Kendrick's a good example of someone who's, like, built off of what hip-hop already is, you know? Mm-hmm. Are there any of the, like, around that 90s era, any artists that really stood out to you as far as their abilities lyrically?
I love Big L. Like, Big L is super slept on. And I don't know, his career is super short, but Big L's one. I love Tribe. Tribe is another one. Fife is crazy. Bust is another one. He's crazy. There's a bunch of them, but they just, you know, they just had their own, like, little style. Mm-hmm. I just made them original, and then, you know, they each branched off into their own thing. So I don't know, I just took a little bit of everything and just sauced it into a pot and figured out where, you know, I fit into the role. Mm-hmm. So I'm just glad to be doing it, to be honest. Add a little bit to the puzzle, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the goal. It's the goal.
Hell yeah. Do you listen to any, like, podcasts or anything like that? Or any, watch any YouTube shows or YouTube videos, YouTubers, like, about the industry, hip-hop itself?
I like Hip Hop DX. I love Genius. I love the Joe Budden podcast for a little while before they had their little dispute.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know if y'all heard about
that. Yeah, they're no longer a thing, I think, right now.
Yeah. That was crazy to hear, but
what was it with that? I didn't hear about that. I was sleeping.
Beef. There was, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of sharks in these waters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's know, like, when it comes down to the business of it, like, you gotta be very, very vocal about, you know, the business side of everything, but I'm not really going to get into too much detail about it because I don't really know too much, but it's had a falling out.
You fired,
I think so, yeah, live on air. But, like, it was over some, like, business contract.
Fired stuff, him on the air?
On air, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wild.
Mm-mm. Just weird shit, but, yeah, their podcast was super fun.
Did you happen to watch Joe Budden on No Jumper?
Yeah.
That was an interesting interview.
Yeah, it was. And it was really dope to, like, see, like, his insight on everything, mm-hmm. too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm. It was crazy how, because I watched No Jumper a lot, and it was crazy to see how, like, Joe Budden's mastered, like, the art of, like, the industry and, like, podcasting itself. Mm-hmm. It was funny how, like, Adam would ask him a question, and he'd deny it, or, like, he'd just be like, nah, like... Like, they said something, he was like, he said, like, Joe Budden said that everybody should just be doing, you know, if they feel like they want to do something, they should just go for it.
Yeah,
and Adam's like, no, I mean, in the podcast game, though, you should have something different, you know, that makes your podcast different. Mm-hmm. And Joe Budden's like, so what are you saying? Like, everyone shouldn't shoot for their dreams or whatever? And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. It just kind of, he kept taking the questions that way.
Yeah.
I'm just like, damn, Joe's, that was a good podcast for
he's
sure.
A very, like, aggressive soul
for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, he's a fun podcast to listen to. Yeah. You guys are also dope also.
Thanks,
to
bro. Podcast,
so.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, bro.
For sure
shining light where it's due, trying to.
Yeah, we talked about I wanted to ask you on this last interview, do you remember the first time that you saw XNVIX live?
Yes, I do. I do remember. Because I was, first time, it must have been the very first time I ever vended at Cava Culture. Because Kevin Ortega hit me up, and he was like, I just moved back to Florida, and he was like...
In Bonita?
Yeah, and he randomly, like, texted me, and he's like, yo, you're back in town, like, I see you're doing art, there's this cool place that has, like, vendors and stuff, I'm sure if you contact this girl, sent me Darby's contact, I'm sure you could get in, and the rest is history. And then, yeah, the first time, I feel like... The very first, I mean, you guys played pretty much every time I was there, so it must have been. And I remember even telling, like, several people. That's what's crazy, too. Cause, like,
I remember
once,
you
once
told
it,
me about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because
like,
once it's a good performance,
dudes.
It's crazy.
I told a couple people. So then like a couple people heard about you. And then one of them actually went to a show, went to Kava Culture because they seemed like the art vendor vibe would fit them. Yeah. And they texted me and they're like, hey, I think the people you were talking about are performing. And I think I was like coming there or something. And then like, yeah, we met up and y'all killed it.
That's dope as fuck.
Yeah, what was your first time?
At Millennial. Millennium Brewing.
Oh, wow.
For the, that was the...
Until the Break show?
Yeah.
That was your first time?
I think so, yeah.
That was sick.
I was like, bro,
what? That was one of my favorite shows. Yep. I've talked about it on the podcast, but I was on crutches at that show.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, Marlovacci. Yeah, there was, like, people on either side of me, like, that I was, like, trying... I was just going to stay in my seat the whole time. But then I was like, I got to fucking stand up. And, like, even if I'm on one leg. And I was even, like, getting pushed around at one point. And Marlovacci was, like, fucking shielding me.
Yeah.
Damn. Yep. Thank you for turning up with us. Damn. And for real, Millennial?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. I know. I'd been trying to. And then that ended up, I think, being, the first time.
And
I
you got up on stage, didn't you? You, whenever it was raging during Slight.
I did.
That was crazy. Because he back in the day, would listen to Backhouse heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
whenever they played Batista Bomb, you're just like, shit.
Yeah, that was a throwback for sure.
Yeah, the energy was crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an amazing show. Yep.
Yeah, most of our shows, we just try to have fun up there. You know what I'm saying? As much as possible. And really try to give like a good time, you know what I'm saying? Because as fun as it is for us to like perform these songs, like we just want y'all to have as much fun as we are.
Y'all deliver for sure. And I'll never forget, just like he was getting shielded, I had just got this iPhone 11, I think that day or the day before, and I'm raging. And then shout out Toke, I'd never met you before, and you're just like, yo, is that your phone on the ground? I was like, yeah, it is.
Yes.
I was like, bro, that was fire.
See,
that
cool was fire. Points. Cool points.
Yep.
It's lit.
It's like, hell yeah, dude. I was about to get smashed, dude. We were raging. He goes, out of the middle of nowhere, chaos. Yo, is that your phone? Fuck yeah, it is, dude. What the fuck?
Guys, we got to put a disclaimer on every show. But wherever you belong, leave your shit in the car if you
want
your shit crap.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yep. Disclaimer. Because you're going to be jumping. For sure. You're going to be jumping. You're going to
be jumping. I felt bad for kicking your crutch. I was like, damn.
Oh, I think I remember. It was all good. Dude, it was so cool just to like have everyone like... Everyone who turned, like you and Marlovacci and everyone, were just like so protective. It was really dope, you know. It's not like every man for himself out there.
Yeah. It's all a movement. It's all a wave. You know what I'm saying? And so if we're all up in the same energy and we want to keep it moving, like we all got to be a part of it. That's the fun of it.
That's the coolest part about seeing like big local shows like that, because you see like. The times when everyone who's on the lineup is like in the crowd too, we're just like all enjoying each other's music. That shit's so sick, you know what I mean?
And we're all enjoying each other's energy, you know what I'm saying? Because we all come from the same place. It was like when we all show love in the same area, it's like, all right, we can all lift each other out of here, you know? It's a movement for sure.
Yep.
It's a movement. It's exciting.
And it's such a cool feeling too. Once like you have like several people around you in the crowd who all like, listen to the song on their own time and like know the words and shit, it's just a connection between everyone and the performer.
For us, it gives us goosebumps because, you know, it's like these are just ideas, you know what I'm saying? So us just making it and crafting it, and then you guys living with it and experiencing it and having it in your lives, like that's a feeling that we can't really describe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's one of those.
Yeah, and it's got to be a good feeling too. Even just when he was saying like he saw a random person in Aldi with its sweat like jacket on, like dude, that's sick. Dude.
It's
like,
a rewarding
what?
Feeling. It's like damn, you know, everything's finally coming into fruition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eventually, it'll be this big, but you know, time will tell. Time will tell for sure.
For sure.
Yep. Do you dabble in producing at all?
I want to. I've always been interested in making beats, but like I've never really gotten into like the nitty gritty of doing. But yeah, I definitely want to dig into it. I have an MPC right now, but I'm completely lost on how to use it. So anybody that knows how to use an MPC, please teach me. I'm a complete student, a whole sponge.
That'll be a level up for sure. I'm sure, like, because then, do you often, like, nowadays, do you often work on your own, or is it usually with everyone?
It depends on the day and how I'm feeling, because... They'll tell you I'm a flake sometimes. I'm a huge flaker. So it all depends on how I'm feeling because, you know, every day is different.
Yeah.
So some days I'll feel like being completely by myself and creating like my own vibe. Mm-hmm. And then some days I feel like sharing my energy and really creating a classic. So, it all depends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once you learn how to use that NPC, I feel like you'll really just go into like a cave or something and just fucking.
Yeah, and really be like within like a different element. And then I could bring, you know, a different element to the boys too. You know what I'm saying? As far as like being more in house, I guess. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It's an idea.
Yeah. Did you ever see that? Do you watch Hulu at all?
A little bit.
You ever see the Wu-Tang show they had on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good show. I like how, like, he was. Like, it just showed the whole story, and I forget the one kid, guy's name, but he had started, he like saved up and got the thing to make PC. The beats and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
just, Bobby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, have you seen that?
The Wu-Tang Great American Saga.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's on Hulu, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have Hulu anymore, so I haven't seen it.
Please watch it whenever
dude,
you can.
Dude, I had a jailbreak a Fire Stick for you.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll cut that out.
Need to buy me Hulu.
I need to legally
buy me Hulu.
I need to just pay for your Hulu subscription.
Yes. Yep. Get your Hulu, yes. But yeah, man, great show. And like that was also an inspiration too, because like I seen that and I was like, okay, that's how he learned to make beats. You know what I'm saying? That's what he brought to them. How could I also bring that to the boys? Because learning to make beats is a completely different like atmosphere, even.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like breaking music down to like a science.
For sure.
So
yep.
Yeah. It's a whole different animal.
Yeah, during the pandemic I got this computer, I got a little MIDI keyboard and Logic, and I just started trying to make beats, and I'm still trying. But it's been a learning process.
How long have you been going at it so far?
I mean, when did I?
It's been probably, like a little over a year.
Yeah,
huh?
Probably a little over a year. Yeah, and it's been good. There's just been tying it in with everything. I mean, I'd like to focus more time on it, mm-hmm. but when I do put in like solid time doing it, like hours into it, it's fun. Like whatever you're doing with it, no matter what, even if you're just sitting there fucking with different instrument sounds for like a little bit and put a little something together,
mm-hmm.
3 hours in you're like, oh, that was fun, and you don't even want to stop too. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like if I'm going, bro, I'm fucking going.
Do you use like an external MIDI, or do you like
mm-hmm.
use the
yeah, a little MIDI keyboard? I was using this at first. This is all I had. I was waiting for the one to come in the mail.
Okay.
And then I ended up getting it pretty shortly after using it. I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I just watch YouTube videos, and I just try to do it, and if I'm struggling, I just look up a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Try to figure it out.
I feel like it's one of those things where like there's certain like essential things you need to know how to do that, like once you reach that and you don't know how to do it, you're like, fuck, and you gotta like figure it out, you know, do some research, fiddle with it.
Yeah,
and even then, like, especially when like it comes down to making music, like there's certain things that you feel like you'll know, and then like you'll have to go back and you'll have to learn it from like a different perspective. You know what I'm saying? So like, let's just say in recording your vocals, like to add effects and shit, like you gotta get in the right BPM, you gotta get it into the right key and different things of that nature. Like you gotta learn that over time, and then eventually it becomes a skill, and that skill will eventually build onto something else. So yeah, I definitely see what you mean
mm-hmm.
by taking your time with it. For sure.
Yep. Especially I didn't know anything about it. Like, so I don't have any musical background. I never mm-hmm. played guitar or piano, anything. So mm-hmm. I came into it, and like you said, all that shit has to be on the right BPM, right key and everything. Dude, at first I was making shit and I'm like, why does it sound like trash? And it's every I'm typing shit at the wrong key and the wrong thing. Yeah, and then it makes it even more time consuming, because then you've got to pause what you're doing, look up a YouTube video,
mm-hmm.
do it, and then pause that, try to do it. But yeah, I think I'm learning, you know, every day learning, every day I put in time, you know, time is money, and you just fucking grind it out.
Yeah.
What do they say, 10,000 hours and you master it?
And you master
it. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Kyle was just streaming the other night, and he ended up staying up. He was streaming games a little bit, but also making beats, and he was up until like 7 a.m. or something like that, and we had a meeting with Ride Nature the next day at 9, so he forgot. But yeah, he was up for hours, and he cranked out a couple beats, and yeah, I bet it's fun. He's got his whole little dojo in there, dude. It's just like all computers around him, and he just plugs
in. He's at the point where he can just clock in, and that's it. He's not looking up videos.
See, I gotta check it out.
Yeah,
because that's definitely a level I'm trying to get to with this beat making thing. Because, you know, it's a science. So Mm-hmm. Break it down.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he uses FL Studio, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all fun though, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we're on Logic right now. We're Logic babies. Huge Logic babies. So.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. I wanted to dabble into GarageBand a little bit, but like that's, you know, that's a whole different it's a whole different animal to really dig into. I heard it's like a baby Logic, but
it is. Yeah. It basically is. It's like Logic just downscaled. Same functions though. That's what's pretty cool about it.
Okay.
Because they come. That's how I started too. Is I started the probably like a week before I got the computer. I got this phone. So I was doing. It came with GarageBand. So I was trying to just do stuff like that. And then I was like, okay, this is fun, but I definitely need like something a computer more. And something more. Yeah. Yeah. And then I got the computer. I was like, okay, this is cool, but I definitely need the keyboard. And yeah, it's just slowly upgrading too. Eventually, I want to have like studio like that, yeah, different monitors better. Clocking in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. But yeah, it's all a work in progress.
Didn't Tape say he does a lot on his phone? Didn't he tell us that he does, like he records vocals? Like he showed us some stuff that were just like tests or whatever. It wasn't like official tracks, but he says he does a lot of shit on his phone with GarageBand. Tape?
Yeah. Recording?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Huh? Like recording like full songs?
Yeah, I think he would play around in GarageBand on his phone and like make start with something, and then he would even record vocals and put it in there, and he would use that as like he'd make songs, you know. I don't think he released shit like that, you know. He would do stuff like on a different level, but he would do a lot on his phone. I thought it was crazy.
Damn.
Most of the time we always think that we need computers and stuff, but
I even hear people like making movies on their phones and shit, you know what I mean, like filming movies. There was some movie that they said was filmed on like the Google Pixel or whatever, and it's like what? Yeah,
what?
Like crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We don't really use our technology as much as, or to the fullest ability that we think that we do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. We just have like all have computers in our pockets.
For real.
Yeah. You ever think about that? How like you can know something in like 5 seconds? If it's just like, what's the capital of blah, blah, blah. Like seriously, less than 10 seconds, you now know that. You know what I mean? Like you can just look it up real quick.
Yeah. That's kind of scary though.
Yeah.
It's super scary because it's like, you know, the right information in the wrong hands is really, really detrimental.
It's scary how they track the patterns. Like how if you Google like what kind of dog does a Great Dane need, it's like, oh, Brian's got a Great Dane dog probably. Let me give him some ads about Great Danes. And you know, they track all that, they know everything about you.
Yeah, and so how do you like keep yourself from like being like tracked then?
Right? I feel like it's inevitable at this point.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I think about it sometimes. How like you're just so locked in between like accounts you have and just like whatever that you're just gonna have faith that this shit won't go south.
It's weird, dude. Even yeah, we've all had to think about something and or talk about something. You don't even search it.
Yeah,
you're just talking,
dude. Just the other day, I didn't even have. I swear to God, I didn't even have any of my shit open. What was I talking about? I didn't have my computer open, and I'm sure my phone heard me or something, but I was talking about something with Shay, and then when I open my computer to keep editing, there's an ad on YouTube for the exact thing that we were talking about, and I was like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's how it is now.
And it's like, what is listening to you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you have in your phone that's listening to you? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
It's like how all the apps will say, like, allow or deny, where it says, like, can we use your microphone? And it's like, this is fucking, why does this app need my microphone? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just have my pictures. Or
it's for real.
Fucking Fruit Ninja. Why does this?
Yeah. Yeah. You open your calculator, like, can we access your location?
Well,
like,
why is that necessary? In order to multiply shit? Okay, word. This is weird. It's getting weird, but it's okay. You know, technology is expanding, so
yeah,
you just gotta be careful.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, said like 10 years ago, and it's like, no, don't. There could be a wiretap or something like that. And then now, and then it says now it is. It's like, hey, wiretap, order me, like, play blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
Because you literally have a device listening to everything you say. I even heard it can get as intricate to where, like, you can just be like, oh, we're out of paper towels. And it can, like, you can, like, set key phrases, like how the GoPro, you can say I won't say it.
Don't say it.
It has the voice commands, but you can do that with Alexa. Just be like, order paper towels. And you can like have it preset on Amazon, and it'll get you sent paper towels.
That's sketchy.
Yeah, I don't ever want an Alexa or
Echo. That's weird. Like, you remember that one movie, Smart House? Yeah, like imagine houses like that for real, like where they have the whole hologram technology type thing. Like, that's crazy, bro.
You watch Black Mirror?
A little bit.
Shit's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's all like way too close to home. Like, it's all like, okay, 3 years, that could actually happen.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what would possibly like be the thing to like stop us from not making that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have it visually, so, you know, it could actually happen. And then, you know, the more advanced that we get, you know, the less limitations that we have. So, like, you know, we could do some crazy shit within the next 5-10 years, bro. Yeah. So, gotta be careful with that shit.
Deadlessly. That's true. Hey, I like powdered donuts. If any of y'all get a powdered donut ad tonight, let me know. Because we know they're listening.
Bet.
I'm gonna get them on break, dude. I'm gonna go on Instagram. They're gonna be like,
Little Debbie, Krispy Kreme powdered donuts.
I don't get one of those right now, actually. Yeah, it's stupid. I wanted to ask too, bringing it back to music. Do you ever feel like artists will like sell like a not like the best verse that they could have when they're doing it for a feature? Like certain mainstream artists.
Yes and no. I say yeah, because I feel like it also depends on the artist that they're recording with.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like, I say no, because I always feel like they're trying to put out their best work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it depends.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, who am I to judge, you know, the verse that I'm listening to? Yeah, but yeah, no, that makes sense.
You do get those times, though, when, like, the feature comes up, and then, like, by the end of the feature, you're just like, all right. Like, you're not, like, as hyped as you thought you were going to be.
Because it's not up to your expectation, but, like, I feel you on that. So I do feel like it is subjective, though. But, yeah, there are definitely times in which you do feel like the verse could have been, like, a lot better.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Or you've been like...
Yeah, because it's just, like, when you see it, you know, you're like, oh, this and this guy, and you listen to it, and you're like, ah, it was cool, but it's like, yeah.
Like, it was a dream feature, but it wasn't, like... up to par of what you thought it was gonna be. Yeah, for sure. So I don't necessarily feel like artists are selling short. Maybe they're just not up for the moment at the time.
I also think, what if they're like working on a full project of their own and then they just happen to like have features that they're doing here and there?
So you never know. It's subjective.
Yeah, that's true.
Subjective.
But when it's the right person, it's almost like they're always, you know, like someone like Lil Wayne or something. It's like they, with how many features that man does, it's very rare that I'm just like, he could have done better on that.
He's
Wayne.
A chameleon.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's a super chameleon. Yeah. So, like, he's always going to be himself no matter who he, like.
Yeah.
You know, whoever who he features with. And I feel like that's the difference. It's like, you know, some people just know how to be themselves no matter who they feature with. And other people, like, have to, like, get into a bubble with the artist that they feature with and then get into their pocket or try and find a way to be different.
Yeah.
Force a difference. But, like I said, it's all different.
Yeah. He's like mastered that, being like complimenting the artist who he's featuring on, you know what I mean? Have you heard the new Polo G
album? No.
It just dropped. Yeah.
No, but I did get recommended it earlier this morning. Shout out my dog Didi. He told me that it was super fire.
It's sick, and he's got a track on there with Wayne that's sick, dude. It's really dope.
But yeah, I definitely gotta check it out.
Yeah, he's got a handful of dope features on it. It's a pretty long album too.
And Polo G's been blowing up
like
substantially for the past year or so. Keep doing anything.
Yeah,
sure.
He's been killing it.
Yeah. And it's crazy to see how many like different artists are really popping up nowadays just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a big market. So.
I found out the other day, and I feel like I was just asleep. I didn't even know this, but I saw a meme that showed Ice Cube's reaction to Cardi B winning Grammy for Best Hip Hop Album. And I ended up looking it up because I was like, huh? And I looked it up because I just wasn't paying attention. And I guess she won Best Hip Hop Grammy in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Is that facts?
Yeah.
Yeah. How does that happen?
To be honest, it's...
Like, I'm someone who thinks there's room for all kinds of music. And Cardi B, I'm not someone who hates.
Yeah.
I think there's room for her music, just like any other one's music. But I'm thinking if there's Best Hip Hop Album of 2019 out of like any other albums that came out in 2019.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's a certain hype behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to build a certain hype and maintain a certain hype. Like, Cardi B was
in everybody's
face at the time. So, I don't know. because I have my own opinions on that, but like,
I just, yeah, how do you feel about Cardi B?
Cardi B's cool. I don't listen to Cardi B. I don't. But, but she's cool. I like Cardi B. She's super like.
What is she be at?
I don't know. She's. How's the best way to put it? She's a fireball. Let's just call it that. She's everywhere, and she can be destructive or she could be like super duper bright. So I don't know. She's an iffy energy for me, but I'm not gonna deny like the energy and the enigma who she is. So
good answer.
Yeah,
that's solid. Did you see that one show on Netflix? What was it called? Rhythm and Flow.
Yeah.
See that show?
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
I thought it was super dope. Rhythm and Flow is crazy. It showcased a lot of dope people. What?
And that dude who won, I've looked up, he dropped an album since winning. What was his name?
D-Smoke.
Yeah. That dude kills it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dope. I
love how he can weave in Spanish and English in his raps.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like, it reminds me of, like, Spanish Kendrick in a way.
Yeah. He gives me heavy Kendrick vibes.
Mm-hmm. And he's super dope with the storytelling and how he could really carry a tale. He's dope.
And it's cool to see that show because it's, like, there's different facets of, like, being an MC, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. like, it really got to show the people that someone like him, now when I hear his album, I also know what he's capable of, like, because of that show. I can know, like, damn, this dude's talented, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It gives you, like, a backstory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a dope way to really drive, like, narratives, because it gives you, like, rather than doing, like, a documentary, you know what I mean, where, like, things are cut out, you get to see the whole process. And that's a dope way to showcase an artist, for real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved it.
And I did notice sometimes in that show that it was kind of funny sometimes because you have, like, Chance the Rapper and T.I. And then, like, they would have hella dope guest judges and stuff, like Royce the 5'9 and stuff. And then a lot of times their inputs were, like, super dope and, like, their criticisms were awesome. And then Cardi B would just, like, piggyback off of them. She wouldn't, like, give any novel advice.
Yeah, she'd say something Cardi B-esque, and it would be like, okay. You know? Okay. But yeah, Cardi B's dope. I fuck with Cardi B.
Do you want to take a break real quick? I gotta recharge this camera.
Yep.
Alright, we're gonna take a break real quick. Enjoy the ads in the meantime. We'll be right back for episode 93.
Are you building a website, creating a clothing brand, or starting a company? Do you need help? If so, look no further. For graphic design work, NT Designs does it all. NT Designs specializes in promotional items, logo, clothing, package, and poster designs, as well as illustrations, stickers, branding, and photo retouching. NT Designs is truly a one-stop shop for all things graphic design. So whether you're building a brand or creating a company, NT Designs has got you covered.
And listen, branding is so important. And don't get me wrong, you can do it yourself. You can, you know, if you have the ability, but making your efforts stand out, you know, if you are starting a company, you need to have that crisp logo, you need to have the, like, solid merchandise, you know, you don't want blurry images on your shirt or whatever just because you screwed up formatting or something.
Yeah.
So you do want someone who knows what they're doing, and NT Designs, he does know what he's doing. He went to Chawan University, he's formally educated, and he's taking this seriously. He really is. It's cool.
Yeah, it's good to see all the things that he's got going on. He is killing it, you know, with everything he's got going. He's been doing, I see that he also does, like, he's done even, like, signs, you know, for your company. Like, if you, like, have whatever company, construction, anything like that, it's like yard signs. Like, we put them up for our job too. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. Huge.
And so if you have, you know, I can say this from personal experience. If you have the money to spare it, definitely think about outsourcing that to NT Designs for sure.
Yep. It's an investment and it's worth it. It's a quality investment. So if this sounds like something that could benefit you or someone you may know, please head over to NTDesigns97 on Instagram. That's NT_designs97 on Instagram. And you can see pictures of his work. We've got it posted. If you're watching on YouTube, you can kind of see everything that he's got going on. But follow him on Instagram so you can stay up to date with that. You can email NTDesigns97 at gmail.com if you would like to make an inquiry and move forward with something. Make sure to follow him on Instagram, though, so you can see everything that he's got going up to date, and you never miss a post that he makes. And by being a supporter of the show, NT Designs is offering a special discount for supporting your boys. If he's offering 15% off as a special discount for anyone coming from our platform. So if you are interested, you can't beat that. If you are interested in what he's got, tell him the boy sent you from City of Palms. He's got a nice discount waiting for you. So what are you waiting for? Go build your brand. It's just a matter of time. Like, starting it in the pandemic was perfect because I wasn't working for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I just went fucking head first, dude. I didn't have to be up early. I was just getting it. And yeah, it's now it's, like I said, kind of harder to find like just the time, because I can't just be like, fucking, I'm all night, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because I got work and shit. But yep, it's, I'll be there one day.
I kind of feel like that was a blessing from the pandemic, is like, I feel like a lot of people started to realize the shit they actually care about, you know? Like, especially people who like lost their work completely, as like detrimental as that is. A lot of people in that time of just like being at home would be like, what do? I guess I'll like garden. Oh, I like gardening. You know, I think I'll garden more. Or like, oh, I actually really don't like that job at all. I think I'm gonna like do something else.
Yeah, and like shift my whole life up for a little bit and really figure out like what the hell I'm doing with my life. Like,
yeah,
it's go time. Yeah, that, I feel like the pandemic really woke a lot of people up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I think I was just telling him earlier, because I was listening to Kanye West's Joe Rogan interview, and he was talking about, he said that professional creatives, I'm just paraphrasing, but he said professional creatives haven't, their dinosaurs haven't died. And then Joe was like, what do you mean by that? And he meant like, once you make a living off of creative shit, like painting or singing or whatever, like once you make a living off of it, your whole brain is imaginative, you know what I mean? Like, you're using your brain to just like innovate and just create, you know, like shit that robots can't do. And he was saying that like, when you live that way, you still like have your dinosaurs, your like fantasy, you know what I mean? Your imagination. When so often I would think like, you know, the majority of people just get into this loop where it's like, okay, now I have my job, and then, okay, I need to get that higher job so I can make more, so I can get a bigger house. And then it's like, eventually your whole life is just, all right, I've worked my job, got my money, and then on the weekends, like, you know,
I go out,
use my energy to like go do something or whatever, you know? And that's fine. Like, a lot of times that's like an ideal life for people, but, a lot of times imagination dies, you know?
Yeah. And then you become a former shell of yourself. You become like a what if.
Yeah. You know, and that's so sad to see people that like were like really into something, like whether it's music or anything, had a passion, and then eventually just the years just weighed on them and just ate at them, you know what I mean? Until now they're just going with the flow.
Yeah. Sucks when passion dies, man. It's a very, very sad life, bro, when you don't feel that spark no more. But it's all right. Do what you love. Love what you do. And that's it.
Do you think dreams dying is ever not a choice? Like, do you, because I feel like there's a lot of things that happen to people that's totally out of their control. It's not just like, oh, I got that job and worked there for 30 years and I didn't do what I wanted in life. But I feel like ultimately, like, no matter what, you can chase your, like, you choose to chase your passion.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you really want to do it, you're always going to, you know, put yourself in a position to do that thing, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No matter how long it takes you either, because that's also another thing. It's like, people tend to, like, look at themselves like a project, you know. So, you know what I mean? I'm supposed to get it done like a certain time, and you know, I'm supposed to be here at this point in my life, and blah blah blah. That's, I feel like that's also a very, very jaded view too. Like, but that also might be another reason why dreams die. It's because, you know, the societal view of how people view themselves compared to everybody else, and comparison. So, yeah, do what you do, love what you do, and take your time with it, no matter how much time it takes. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. But you often hear people say, like, I've heard my friends even say, like, oh, I have to do, like, adult shit now. Like, I gotta grow up, you know? Like, I'm, you know, too old for that shit. Like, skating in particular is one thing that a lot of people put it down just because they, like, get too old or whatever. And who was it that, I'm gonna fuck it up because it's a famous quote.
It says, you didn't get, oh, I'm gonna,
you
fuck
didn't quit skating because you got old. You got old because you quit skating. Yep. And it's like that with
anything. It applies
anything
for dreams,
like
too,
that.
Yeah.
Because that happens, like, and all of us feel it. Like, all of us feel that pressure, especially as we're trying to make a living off of our creative shit. Like, every day you feel that pressure of, like, man, I could make a lot more money if I just became a manager of fucking Sam's Club or something like that. You know what I mean?
If I just go get this job real quick and like save up a little bit, I could make a lot more money than what I'm doing right now. But I really, really, really love what I'm doing right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. It's almost like every day you have that choice of like, I could just give up and just do this shit, but you know, and again, sometimes there's situations people are under where it's like very difficult to keep going, but I think ultimately like you can keep going.
Yeah.
In some way.
And you have to. You have to, just to see like what's on the other side of the door. You know what I'm saying? Because if you stop right there and that could have really been your breakthrough, that what if moment comes back and, you know, you don't ever want to get there. So,
yeah. I think just keeping it, like keeping the passion a part of your life. Like I'll use skating as an example, but like a lot of people I know who don't really skate as much anymore because they're like older or had injuries or whatever, they still watch skate videos like every day and they still are on the barracks and like seeing all the latest skate content and stuff. And that like, I was listening to something the other day that was saying that's how you like get passionate about or get motivated to do something is you surround yourself with it. So like if we're really trying to like be passionate about the podcast and really try to like level this up, we listen to a lot of podcasts. You know, we listen to No Jumper, we listen to Joe Rogan, like all these different things to surround ourselves in that world still, even if we're not podcasting. And then I feel like it's the same if you have to put down the microphone or put down the pen for a little bit, put down the paintbrush just because of your situations. If you're still like consuming that content, looking at like art other people make, like thinking art you want to make, just keeping your brain in there, you never really gave up, you know.
Oh, I thought I was gonna sneeze.
I saved it.
But yeah, I see what you mean though. Just surrounding yourself by that energy and really being like in tune with it, because when you put down the mic and you ain't really writing like that, you gotta be in that same mindset to get yourself back to creating, because it can be a challenge when you don't create for like 2 months.
Psst. Yep, it's like it's like a muscle you got to work out.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
That consistency is definitely key for sure.
Yep.
So, and listening to music doesn't always help either. That's a different type of outlet.
Does it make it harder ever if you like listen to a bunch of music? Especially if you're trying to like produce from scratch or something where like you're making music like from the bottom up, it might be difficult to be hearing all these other
artists
creations.
And then do what you do. And then like the key is like to be inspired but not bite, you know what I mean? And especially like when you're getting inspiration from a lot of different places, like the key is to mix the pot up with everything that you already know and make it your own and express it in a different way to where it's like, okay, I could see where he gravitated to, but like it's still like a core value of who that artist is. So yeah, it's a balancing act for sure. If that's a good way to describe it, at least.
No, that's for sure.
This might be a dumb question, but do you think if you never did get involved in a group musical project, what do you think your musical life would look like right now? If you never met the guys, never had XNVIX.
I don't know. I feel like I'd make like a lot of trap music. I'm gonna be real. But then like I would evolve into like the music that I make now eventually. I still feel like I'd be here. I'd just be here a lot. It would take me a lot longer to get here. Because where I was musically back then was way different. Like, I didn't even explore or even think I'd even explore some of the music that I listen to now.
Yeah.
So, it's different. And I don't know. I just feel like I'd just be up under a different spectrum. It's a great question. It's a great, great question.
And just having the constant motivation around you, you know? Because, like, as a singular, like, creative person, I feel like the pressure would be a lot harder to, like, okay, I got to write something today. I gotta do it. Sometimes it might like be difficult, but if you got the guys all around you every day you're working, then it's like no.
Yeah, or like even just like shift your sound a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's just say like the boys, for instance, they each listen to something differently than I do. My bad. They each listen to something differently than I do. So like their musical taste might leak into my musical taste one day, and I might think of something different, and I might blend something that I listen to or something that they listen to together and make something completely different. So it's dope. Like being around a lot of dope minds and figuring out how to like mix the pot up a little bit. So yeah, for sure. But like I said, it's all a balancing act to figure out how to bring it back home and really hone your skill enough to where you're not biting or being too inspired by the next artist to where you start sounding like them, because that's the tricky part, especially with music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because...
That must be terrible if you, like, write a song and, like, you had inspiration from someone and you, like, write a song and then when someone listens to it, it's like, oh, that gives me such and such vibes.
Yeah, you'd be like, ah, like, thank you, yes, but, you know what I'm saying? But I see where people get that, too. It's like, that's what they listen to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they see that that's kind of what you listen to, and they see that that's what you get the inspiration from. So that's the closest thing that they could compare it to.
Yeah. Sometimes that's just how someone will compliment. They'll be like, yo, you sound like Lil Wayne on that. And it's like, thanks. He's good.
Thank you. He's dope. Word. I'm in the same conversation. Lit. When I get there, I'll get to be like, yeah, somebody said I sound like you lit. So, yeah. That's always a goal, too. Good question. That was a very good question.
Thanks. Damn. As far as local music, what are your thoughts on just the scene around here in general, Southwest Florida, as someone who's creative?
We're diverse as hell. And that's the statement that I'm going to use. Like, we're diverse as hell. Like, we have so much talent here, especially in the area. You can find everything here. Literally, a little taste of everything.
Yeah.
And you just need to figure out where to look and what nights to really look for it, and then you'll find it. Because we are a small community, yeah, but, like, we have room to grow, and we're inviting, so, you know. The more that you look, the more that you'll find is basically what I'm saying, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, since we started the podcast, it's just been, like, floodgates, dude. Just like, what?
Like, because we started it as like interesting, like, this person's interesting. We're not gonna be like musician interviewer or anything. It's just like interesting person. Cool stuff to say. Then we'd take notes of like, oh, that person seems cool, that person seems cool, we could talk to them one day, you know. And then eventually it's just like, everyone's so fucking cool. You know what I mean?
Dude, our guest list has so many people on it.
And I feel bad, like, sometimes, because like, we could only have 4 episodes a month. You know what I mean?
Dude, so like,
until we can do more, like, that's all we can do, you know, one day.
It sucks. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we'll be booking, and we're just like, we're looking at the guest list, and we're just, all right, let's book for this month. Fuck, it's not that hard. It's just like, fuck, it's a matter of making it happen. But yeah, one day we'll be cranking. I mean, we did two today. We'll be cranking out.
Because I feel like everyone's going to be leveling up. Like, I feel like, you know, even just these people that we know, like, shit's already happening, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For you guys and, like, mm-hmm. One Way TV, like, there's people around here who are doing dope-ass shit, and I feel like in a couple years, even just a year, I just think that you see the growth, like, around this area as far as, like, businesses and stuff. You see, like, you know, like, big establishments, more entertainment, more things to do, just, like, popping up. This area's really bustling, and I can only imagine what it's going to look like to be a creative here in a couple years. You know what I mean? Because I feel like all these people we know that are trying to do cool shit and, like, starting to do cool shit, it's going to start. Expanding. Their trees are going to start blossoming. Yeah. And then there's going to be, like, bro, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And I used to want to move. I used to want to, like, live somewhere else. But now I'm like, I think this is the place.
Yep.
you know what I mean?
And we got to plant the seeds here first. You know what I'm saying? Yep. For us to see the seeds really expand out, we got to start here.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
Let's get to it. 239, we're here. I'm saying we're
That's
here.
That's it. That's it. What's been your personal favorite performance from with XNBIX?
I have a couple. We did one at Maria's. That one was crazy.
That's what we heard.
Maria's restaurant was so crazy. And then... the millennial show that you went to was also crazy. There's been so many. Like, every one of them are fun.
How was the Harley Davidson show?
That one was dope.
Yeah.
That one was dope. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't as bustling as
different crowd, right?
I'd imagine, but it was dope as hell.
Yeah. It was dope as hell. Hell yeah.
Is there, like, a different gratification y'all get when, like, obviously, if you're performing somewhere like at Maria's or like a Cava event or something like that, where everyone around you is like creative people, everyone around you, like, you know, we're all friends, we all know each other, and like, so the crowds for those type events are obviously gonna, the energy is gonna be like way up here. But does it mean something different when you're performing at somewhere like the Otaku Fest or somewhere where you're performing for a lot of people that have never seen you before, and then seeing them get into it, is that like a greater level of gratification?
Yeah.
Because the energy's got to be the best, first and foremost.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say a different level of gratification. It's just like a different like perspective. It's like, all right, cool. We know that we could reach different people and, you know, still connect with the home crowd. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, y'all at the foundation. You know what I'm saying? Without y'all, we ain't going nowhere. So we gotta do it here first. And then, you know, to an outside crowd, it's like, all right, cool. We gotta make a show. We gotta set up a show enough to where we represent y'all enough to where when we go out, it's like, all right, we know that 239 is well represented. So yeah. Still.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it on I don't think we talked about it on air on Rip's episode, but the show y'all did at Viva La Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
How was that, dude?
Oh man. That shit was crazy. That shit was crazy. Oh man.
Because that had to be one of them moments where you're just up there like, bro, this is who we are.
Yeah,
this is where we're from.
And this is what we do. And the energy was literally nonstop from beginning to end. And that's really what we do it for. You know what I'm saying? We do it for the energy. We do it for the movement. And that's really what we're here for, to move. You know what I'm saying? Keep it moving.
Yeah, I wish I could have made it out to that.
Me too, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting.
It's always sad when you miss X and VX performance. It always hurts a little.
When you see a flyer for something that you're just like, oh, damn, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, you see it, you're like, wait, the date?
I work. Yeah.
But then y'all gotta learn that there'll always be more. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Always keep that in mind.
Yeah. What are, like, do you skate? Do you skateboard?
I longboard.
You longboard? Hell yeah.
Yeah. I have weak knees. So I can't skateboard. Got weak knees.
True.
I feel that.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm, can't do that.
He says, I feel that. Look at the sign right there. Ripped his ACLs twice.
Hey.
Yeah, I feel that.
Can't do that. Mm.
Nah, your knees are strong, though. Stronger than ever.
Nah, you're a trooper. You're a trooper, sir.
Thanks, hey, bro.
I couldn't do it. Mm. I congratulate you, because that shit is tough, bro. Oh.
It's a scary feeling. You never forget it.
I feel
for
that.
Real.
Mm-mm. Tougher than me.
Longboarding's dope, though, bro. Where do you usually ride?
Wherever, whenever. It's kind of like, it's a freeing experience.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a freeing experience. Just being able to, like, put your headphones in and just cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that, too.
Want. Yeah.
Yep. I used to do that shit, too. Longboards are smooth. I still got one. In fact, I was doing that to the pandemic, too. I would just wake up in the morning, longboard 4 miles. Just go. Headphones in, go.
Yeah.
That must be so great.
It was great, dude. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the world becomes a smaller place on a longboard. You just get to go. I'm saying, it's cool.
Yeah,
and you can cruise. Because, like, riding on a skateboard, don't get me wrong, that's my primary, like, focus. But, like, when you're riding around the street on a skateboard, you're more, like, looking. Like, you know, like, jump down, you know, jump up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you
know, all
and you
got to
work your ass off, dude.
Yeah, you got to push. You got to push. You got to push because your wheels are so small.
And dude, yeah. My road, if I tried to drive my skateboard down that, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But a longboard, I cruise.
Yeah, I skated to work the other day, and it was just, like, even when I got to the sidewalks, I'm just, like, man, fuck. Because it just gets too bumpy.
And
like, there's too
tiring.
Many cracks. And I'm
it's
just like,
tiring as hell,
just
too.
Walk for a minute.
And it's tiring as hell, too, because then you also got to work up against, you know, you also got to work up against the road and everything, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a smoother ride on a longboard. But, yeah. Longboarding was fun. I don't do it as much anymore, but it's definitely fun.
Yeah. I was at the skate park. Someone needed a bolt for the wheel on, and I had the only extra one I had was on the longboard that was in the trunk, so I was like, here, you could have it.
What brand of a longboard did you have?
I have a Sector 9. Yeah, I still have it. I still, everything's in my trunk. I'm just, the wheel just needs that bolt to put on it. I just need to buy another hardware thing and screw it on.
Word.
Yeah, I got like a Sector 9 though, Bob Marley fucking decal thing. It's like a shorter one. It's not like the
it's
longest
the longer
board.
One? Okay.
Yeah.
I have a, I think it's a Land Yacht.
Oh, nice.
I think it's a lane.
Those
yeah.
things are nice.
Yeah, they're super smooth.
Yeah. Are those the ones that, like, cave in a little bit?
I used to want one of those.
Yeah.
Those are super smooth.
Yeah, those
they're
are
like
really
boats,
smooth.
They're
yeah.
bro. They're like boats, but nah, I have a, I think it's a pintail. Either a pintail or a cape tail. I forget which one.
Okay, yep.
But
yeah, those lanyards are smooth, though,
yeah,
for sure.
They're dope.
Heck yeah. You ever ride a penny board or a nickel board?
My feet are too big for
those. Yeah,
those things are trash. That's just tough.
I don't know how people could balance on those, bro. It's a trick in itself. I can't do it. Mm.
I had one given to me when I started college. I had my board that I would like. I planned to just ride to classes, but then I realized
that too.
You did. Okay, so then I realized like skating to classes are dope, especially when like you have time to like do tricks and like skate a spot or something. But like most of the time you don't, and most of the time you got like a time crunch and more efficient to take a longboard or a penny board. So he gave me a penny board, and I remember I'd still try to do shit just because like I was still trying to do tricks, and it's so small. And at FGCU there was like, to get out of South Village, there's like a big hill, and every time I'd get to the top of the hill, and then when you're riding down, it's not that steep, but like you pick up speed, and I would always try to manual down it, like manual to the bottom, and I would always, because there's no grip tape on penny boards, and I would always like get, when I hit the bottom and like go to cross the intersection, I'd eat shit, bro, like all the time.
On your way to class?
Yeah, so there's like people walking by, and I'm just like, oh shit, and then just, and then every day I'm like, all right, yesterday was a fluke, I got this, I could do it on my skateboard, but the penny board.
Penny boards are impossible, bro. They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just wicked. And then there was even a time I was going to work from my dorm, and I was trying to skate this gap, and I don't remember who it was, but there was someone from my dorm that saw me. Like, they were like crossing as I was trying to ollie it, and I ate so much shit, bro. Like, got the worst road rash because I ollied the gap, and I wasn't going fast enough, and I wasn't even warmed up because I'm like on my way to work and shit, and I clipped the gap and just like fall straight to my hip and just slide and just had like hella road rash. I'm just like, I gotta go to Moe's now.
Yeah,
those penny, are the times.
Penny boards are impossible. I don't know how people do it. People that ride penny boards, you guys are troopers, because my feet are too big for that.
Yeah, dude, those boards are tiny, tiny.
Yeah, I can't do
that. So some people have like some sort of like monetary goal they're looking at, like if I could have that car, like I made it, or like I can get that like house, I made it, or some people have that like vision of like if I could do that, then I know like all right, I did this shit.
I made it.
Yeah, do you have anything like that? Not even monetarily, but just anything you're looking at where it's like, when I can do that, I fucking did it.
I want to sell out Coachella. I don't care whether it's like as a solo artist or like as a group. That's my goal, to know that I made it, because Coachella's fucking huge.
Hell yeah.
That's the goal. And then like an Audi. I want an Audi too. But
what kind of Audi?
Our 8.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram story the other day. That was...
They're so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. I saw one on the road the other day, and every time I see one, I'm just like, damn.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a head turner, but I'm not gonna get too much into it. That's another.
Yeah.
That's another podcast in itself, but yeah, I'm excited.
So where if you could sell out Coachella, where would you want it to be held? Here, Miami, LA.
Miami. Yeah, I feel like having Coachella in our backyard would be dope. See how many people we could bring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. He asked me a question.
Yeah, that would be sick.
California boy. So. Coachella, Dubai. Fuck that.
Hell yeah.
That would be hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coachella, Dubai.
There we go.
That'd be some crazy shit.
I like that. I want to go to Dubai, dude. That shit looks so fun.
That's what I'm saying. And like, they all drive supercars and shit.
Yo, I know, right?
Saying.
Yeah, I'm down. Throw me in one.
Please.
Please. Exactly.
Fuck, please. Dude.
Fuck. Would you ever drive a Lamborghini if you had the opportunity to?
Yeah, I'd be a little freaked out, but I would. I'd be nervous.
Would? Yeah.
What's the fastest car you've driven? Didn't you like test drive? Didn't you do something where you like just test drive? You like went to some track where they let you drive a supercar?
I didn't go to that.
Oh, you did? No, you wanted to though.
Wanted
you were
to.
Planning on it.
Yeah.
What were you gonna drive?
They had it's called extreme experience or something like that. Extreme driving. They come like Tampa, Miami, West Palm Beach, and they have like you could drive like Lambos, Ferraris, Maseratis. Like all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, I forget. I wanted to pick probably like a, I forget which one I had on my mindset. They had a lot, and I was just like, fuck. I think I picked the pass where you could pick like two or three cars, where it was like, because I wanted to go for my birthday. didn't end up doing it. I still want to. That'd be fucking dope. Yeah. But yeah, you basically just like take two or three laps around this big ass track in a fast ass car.
What'd you say it was? Miami? Was it in Miami?
Yeah, they come. So it's something that they circle around the world like every year. Okay. So it's when they come to Florida, it's either going to be in like Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, or maybe like Orlando.
Okay.
I think the first year I was too young. I was like 16, and they were in Tampa. And then the one year I wanted to do it, I think they were in Miami. Or, yeah, Fort Lauderdale,
okay.
Miami.
Okay.
When we get our supercars and stuff, I'll toss y'all the keys. It's test drive.
What car would you want to drive?
Experience that.
Whichever, dude. Any supercar, dude.
R8, I just want to feel what that feels like.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Yeah,
just push the gas and just feel yourself. Fucking yeah.
It really does feel like the Fast and Furious movies. The way they describe it, it does feel like that without all the fucking.
Yeah.
All the special effects, yeah. It's crazy.
Have you driven any crazy cars like that?
No. Have I wanted to? Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
But no. I've been in an RE. I've never driven an RE. That's two different things. It's two different things.
Yeah, just starting that shit up.
Ugh.
Different feeling.
Yeah.
And then to own it. That's yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's a nice
milestone.
Feeling.
You know,
yeah,
say?
Exactly.
Milestone.
Man,
so.
Y'all gotta drive a Porsche the other day.
I was fucking it up.
Oh yeah.
That shit. 0 to 160. Grip. My hands. Like, I ain't rolling out. I'm sorry.
Fastest car I've ever driven is a GTR.
Oh shit. Hell yeah.
That was lit.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's sick.
0, 60, 120, 160. See, that's the thing. If I get me a supercar going that fast, oh, okay. That's a thrill.
It feels like 50 miles per hour when you're driving 100 and something. Then. It feels like you're going 45 and you don't realize it. You look down like, oh shit.
I gotta slow down, dad. Like,
oh shit, I'm going 150.
Yeah, I gotta slow down,
dad.
It's
so sturdy, so you know you're going fast when you start shaking it a little bit.
Oh yeah, you're like, that's
it's a little air. It's a little air, you know.
What do you say the cutoff is? You say once you're above like a certain speed, you're just going dumb fast. Like it doesn't feel any different.
Yeah, I'd say anything past like 130 is just fucking stupid fast.
Yeah, it's almost like you're in hyper speed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just crazy.
Yep.
Dude, you ever watch those videos of like motorcyclists going hella fast on like interstates, just
just weaving.
I'm like, Jesus, dude.
Imagine like the wind against your body going that fast right now. Cannot do that. And imagine the people that don't be wearing no helmets, like, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For real.
I can't be doing that. Fuck, especially going that fast. Gosh dang.
But yeah, bugs be flying everywhere and stuff.
For real, dude. Yeah. Yeah, that alone would tap, dude. You're just driving. Fuck, dude, this sucks. Should've thought this through.
You ready to wrap it up, dude?
Yeah, we can wrap it up. Yeah, we're going for that time.
Okay, bet. This was fun.
Hell yeah, this was fun. Yeah, I see. We took like a culture, like a more like we just talked about
everything
fucking culturally and everything, and like, what I can appreciate too is like. You are very you like everything on social media, dude. That's what I fuck with. When I'm on my Instagram, I'm very observant, dude. I'm very observant, and I'm going, and I swear everything is liked by you. And I'm like, my dog, dude. Some videos I would never even suspect that we have any mutual followers following this same page, and I'd just be like, it'd be liked by Flat Top. I was like, hell yeah, bro. I'm liking this shit too, then, bro.
I'm liking it just because he liked it.
The homies are supporting, I'll support.
Yeah,
dude.
Sometimes you gotta share
videos.
A little bit of love. Let somebody know that you see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying, got to.
Because
it's like, you know, people don't know anymore. It's like, especially with the Instagram algorithms, they'd be like, you know, can you see my post? So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the shit's fucky. You really gotta interact with things for it to even be seen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. So I just wanted to say that. I appreciate it. You're always showing love, dude.
Of course.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, bro.
It's been dope. It's been real.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Both the DSLRs are down, but if you wanted to look at the GoPro, you can let the people know where they can find you,
so
what they can look out for.
You can find me, 0330XER0330. You gotta spell it right in order to find me. If you don't know how to find me. Yeah, find me. Anyway, find us XMVX everywhere. Couch project may be coming soon. I ain't gonna tell you nothing. All right.
Stay tuned.
Hey.
Hell yeah. Where can they find us at, dude?
We don't got a camera on us.
Oh, let me just switch this around. Woo, yeah. Here we are.
You can find us at City of Palms Podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Self-produced.
Coming to your ears every Monday. Yep. Watch us on YouTube. Yep, camera angles dying left and right. But, hey, subscribe.
We're making it.
If we get to, this is what, 93? Yeah. We got 7 episodes left, 7 weeks to get to 1,000 subscribers. This month's going to give me a tattoo. No prior experience.
And aside from that, we put a lot of work into the YouTube channel. So if you're just listening to us, consider heading to YouTube and subscribing so you can see us as well. Because we put a lot of work into this.
Two-man band. Editing is just a one-man band. This guy. Shout out this guy.
Right, I got to edit after this. All right, hit him with the outro. Yeah.